The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the true and heartwarming story of a great man and a small boy who became Father Flanagan's toughest customer. But now, let's see what Peg and Grandpa are doing tonight.
Mother was shopping today, and she brought me this package.
Mm-hmm.
Look what's in it, Grandpa.
Oh, I'll bet you like this.
Oh, I do, Grandpa. And it has another story. Read it, Grandpa.
I'm sorry, Peg, but you have to wait a little while. We have another story to begin first. It's about a young boy named Eddie. And here to tell you all about it is your Hallmark host, Tom Shirley. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever met a really bad boy? You may think you have, but I'll wager you've never met any brat to compare with the fire-breathing little demon in our story tonight. That's Eddie. In the opposite corner is a tall, gray-haired man who has spent a lifetime believing there is some good in everybody. That's Father Flanagan of Boys Town. Then he meets Eddie. It's one of the greatest stories you ever heard. I grew up with kids like Eddie on Chicago streets. Some of them turned out all right. Others didn't. But before you meet Eddie, I'd like to tell you about the boy who's playing his part. His name is Eddie, too. Eddie Bruce, another little brat who, since he was four, has been stealing scenes from veteran actors in the theater. Incidentally, one of the best kid actors on the air. If you like kids as I do, especially the underdog, you're in for a real thrill as the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you on the Reader's Digest radio edition a two-fisted little guy with a chip on his shoulder, Father Flanagan's toughest customer. Father Flanagan said it many times. There's no such thing as a bad boy. And then, along came Eddie. Hello?
Hello, Father Flanagan?
Yes?
This is Sheriff Hosey calling from Springtown. Have you got room for another boy right away?
Why, yes, I believe so. Where is he?
In jail.
Oh, I see.
He's a desperate character, Father. Robbed a bank and held up three stores with a revolver. I hate to ask you to take him off our hands.
That's all right, Sheriff. We'll be glad to take him. How old is the boy?
8 and a half.
He's what?
8 and a half years old, Father.
But you said he'd robbed a bank.
Don't let his age fool you. He's all I said he was, and more. Will you take him?
Well, if I can't manage an 8 and a half year old boy by this time, I ought to quit. Bring him on, Sheriff. By all means, bring him on.
Song singing place.
Sit down, Eddie. We'll be there in a few minutes.
You've got a nerve taking me out here. Why didn't you send me to a form school where I belong? I don't want to go to no monastery.
I'm not taking you to one.
And who's this priest you're talking about? This Padre Flanagan.
Father Flanagan, Eddie.
He ain't no father to me, and I ain't gonna call him one.
Okay.
I ain't gonna pray neither. If anybody tries to make me, I'll spit on him.
Son, you got the wrong idea of Boys Town. Nobody makes you do anything but obey the law. And the boys run the whole show.
Yeah? I thought you said there was nuns teaching school.
Well, the sisters do teach school,
you
but...
You see? The place is full of nuns and priests.
The place is full of boys, Eddie. Boys like you that never learned how to behave.
I know how to behave, all right. And if old man Flanagan thinks he can teach me to sing in the choir, he's got another guest coming. You wait and see, Sheriff. They ain't gonna make no monk out of me.
Here he is, Father. The kid himself.
Well, how do you do, young man? Come in and sit down, won't you?
I ain't tired.
Very well, you may stand if you like.
I want to smoke. That's what I want to do, smoke.
All right, what do you have? Cigar or pipe?
Don't be funny. I ain't afraid of you.
I'm certainly glad you're not, Eddie. Wouldn't get along very well if you were.
He ain't gonna get along anyhow. I don't like you.
You see what I mean, Father? He's a tough customer.
Well, I am too, Sheriff. We ought to make a good team.
In a pig's eye.
Pipe down, you little squirt. I've got a good mind to turn you...
Leave him alone, Sheriff. He'll be all right.
Oh, this little devil isn't human.
There's no such thing as a bad boy, Sheriff.
Well, I hope you're right. Anyway, there's a complete report on him right here in this envelope. And if you need me for anything, you know where I can be reached.
Yes, I have the address. Thank you ever so much for bringing Eddie out here.
Thank you for taking him. So long, Eddie.
So long, Flatfoot.
Goodbye, Sheriff.
Goodbye, Father. And good luck. You're going to need it.
What do you think about that, Eddie? Am I going to need good luck?
You want it straight?
Yes.
Well, I think you are.
Eddie stood there sullenly as Father Flanagan opened the envelope and began to read the boy's report. Oddly enough, there was only one name on it, Eddie. The last name was missing because people had forgotten what it was. Eddie's folks died when he was 3 years old, and ever since then, he'd been shunted from one family to another like a stray cat, picking up a meal here and a night's lodging there, until nobody knew where he really belonged. As the report said, the boy lived in the streets.
Mr. Foley! Mr. Foley!
Who is it?
Me, Eddie. Will you open the door?
What do you want?
Well, I was looking for a place to stay tonight, Mr. Foley. And locked out of my own dump.
You got a lot of nerve waking me up at this time of night, Peter.
Well, I've been locked out, I tell you. Old Lady Munn don't want me no more, the old biddy. If I jimmy the window again, the janitor will give it to me good.
Beat it, I said. Serves you right for staying out so late.
Wait a minute, Mr. Foley. Hey, Mr. Foley.
Get away from that door.
Ah, give me a break, Foley. You let me stay here once for a whole month.
That's why I've got any part of you. Go down to the Hudson.
I just came from there.
Yeah? What happened?
Nothing. They said the same thing as you did. Ah, you big punk, you. I'll just fall down the stairs and break your neck.
At the age of 8, Eddie was like a little animal, hard and tough and mature beyond his years. Coached by the water rats who were his companions, he became the leader of a gang of boys nearly twice as old as he was. A gang that specialized in petty crimes.
What you get, Bobo? 6 pencils, a handful of candy bars, and a bottle of toilet water.
Toilet water? What can we do with that?
I don't know. Sell it, maybe. 5 and 10 cent toilet water?
You sap. Why didn't you steal some dough?
There wasn't any on the counter.
So what? Couldn't you reach around and get your hand into the cash register?
With a dame standing there all the time?
How?
Ah, you dumb jerk. You don't know how to steal. What are you kicking about? You want to run this gang, you better start doing something yourself for a change.
Says who?
Says me, you little shrimp. Sick and tired of you bossing us around all the time. I ain't gonna take no more guff off you till you make good.
Okay, Bobo. I'll make good. I'll do something you wouldn't do on a dare. On a double dare.
Like what?
Like stealing some dough. Big dough.
Ah, you're full of bull.
Am I? You wait and see, Bobo. I'm going to rob a bank.
Hiya, Bobo.
Oh, big stuff. You done something yet?
Yeah, I done something. I robbed the bank.
Who are you kidding?
Don't you believe me? Look at this roll of bills.
Wow. Hey, where'd you find them?
I didn't find them, I told you. I stole them from the bank.
When?
This afternoon. I sneaked in about 2 o'clock when most of the tellers was out for lunch.
Ah, you're stringing me.
No, I'm not. I walked up to an empty window and stuck my hand in a wire cage.
How could you? You're not big enough to reach up that high.
I'm big enough to shinny up the side. I got away with $200. Count them.
You're not kidding me, Eddie. You found that dough.
Nuts to you, wise guy. I pulled this job alone, and that's the way I'm going to pull the others.
Yeah?
You heard me. I'm on my own from now on. And the next time I make a haul, you'll read about it in the papers.
Hey, Eddie, what are you doing out here?
Learn how to shoot a gun.
Holy mackerel. Hey, where'd you get that thing?
That's my business.
Oh, come on, Eddie, you can tell me. Where'd you get it?
I bought it from a friend of mine.
Oh,
kid that just got out of reform school. Stole it from his old man.
Gee, it's a honey.
Hands up.
Huh?
Hands up, I said.
Hey, look at you, Soap. It'll go off.
Put the trap and do like I tell you.
Okay, Eddie, okay. Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing. I just wanted to see if it had worked.
What? Hey, what's the idea?
Don't get excited, Bobo. I wasn't going to hurt you. I was just practicing holdups.
What for?
Don't you know? Now that I got a run, I can go into the big time. Stick him up, mister. Don't make a sound or I'll let you have it. Now, that's the idea. Now back up against the wall and let me get at that cash register. Okay, Levinson, get him up. This is a real gun and I know how to use it.
Put that gun down, you little brat, and get out of my store.
This is a stick-up, I tell you. Don't argue, lady.
Put that gun down.
Oh, you bum, you knock it out of my hand.
Come back here, you. I'm taking you to the police.
Let go of my hand.
I will when I can turn you over to an officer. Now march, young man. March.
That was the sheriff's report. Father Flanagan folded it carefully and laid it down on his desk. Then he looked up at the villain of the piece, the surly young kid who stood in the center of his office.
You done, Padre?
Yes, Eddie. I finished reading the report. But I still know very little about you.
That's all you're gonna know. I don't like this place, and this place ain't gonna like me.
Well, you may be right about that. And I'll tell you one thing, Eddie. You're welcome here at Boys Town right from the very beginning. We don't care what you've done before. It's what you do now that counts.
Uh-huh.
The whole place is run by boys like you. We have a boy mayor, a boy city council, and a boy chief of police.
Where's the jail? That's where I'm going to be.
Well, I'm afraid I can't oblige you on that score. You see, we haven't any jail.
Uh-huh.
Now you're going to take a bath, Eddie, and then get supper. Tomorrow morning you start school.
Uh-huh.
You and I can become real good friends if you want to. It's strictly up to you. I know you're a good boy, Eddie. And someday I hope I can take you into my heart, the way I have the others. Now, what do you say? Will you shake hands and try to get off to a good start? What do you say, Eddie? Will you?
Go take a flying jump at the moon.
We'll be back in a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. But here's Grandpa and Peg again.
Gee, Grandpa, it sure is bad. Not at all like Tommy Tucker, my new Hallmark doll. Mm-hmm. Isn't he cute, Grandpa, with his big red hat and feathers? Please read a story now, Grandpa.
All right, Peg. Now, here's the story of a very good little boy. Little Tommy Tucker was a boy who loved to sing. In fact, he'd rather sing all day than almost anything. He sang when he was happy, he sang when he was blue. He sang when he was all alone, and when he wasn't, too. And then one day, Tommy chanced to pass a little bakery shop, and seeing such good things to eat, he couldn't help but stop. Of course, he was too poor to buy a single thing, he knew, and just to stop and look a while was all he meant to do. But then, because he always sang no matter what, you know, he sort of sang a little song before he turned to go. And Tommy sang so sweetly that the baker clapped with joy and said, "Let me repay you. Here, just help yourself, my boy." So Tommy ate a cookie, and then some pie, and then some cake, and lots of other good things that the baker said to take. Then Tommy told the baker he was grateful as could be. And then the baker said, "Come back again and sing for me." So Tommy never worried about suppers anymore, because all he had to do was sing, just like he did before. And though the story doesn't say, it's pretty safe to bet that anywhere that Tommy is, he's probably singing yet.
Yes, folks, that's the story of Tommy Tucker, and it's just a sample, for each Hallmark doll has its own delightful version of an old familiar story. Tommy Tucker is one of the 8 new Hallmark dolls. They're the latest idea in greeting cards, but more, they're 8 lovable dolls from the land of make-believe. Tommy Tucker, Cinderella, Boy Blue, Miss Muffet are a few. See all 8 Hallmark dolls tomorrow. They stand up, they're gay and colorful front and back, and all wear bright plumes in their hats. The price, only 25 cents each. See Hallmark dolls soon. Send them often to every youngster you know. Now, back to Father Flanagan's toughest customer.
10 o'clock the next morning, the door to Father Flanagan's office opened, and the new pupil swaggered in. His hair had been cut and neatly combed, and for the first time in many months, his shiny face was really clean.
Yes, Eddie?
Got an note for you, Padre, from one of my teachers.
Oh, you've been to class this morning?
Yeah, for about an hour. Then Four Eyes asked me to take this note to you.
Who? Who's Four Eyes?
The dame with the goggles. You know, the nun, the superior or something.
Oh, Sister Claire.
Yeah, that's the one.
She asked you to take this note to me?
Uh-huh.
It's been opened, Eddie.
That's right. I opened it. I wanted to see what she wrote.
But you had no right to open a letter addressed to me.
Oh, it's okay, Padre. It's about me anyhow. So what difference does it make?
But you see, Eddie...
Oh, go ahead and read it. It's pretty funny.
Thank you. Dear Father Flanagan, we have heard you say 1,000 times that there is no such thing as a bad boy. Would you mind telling me what you would call this one?
She's a scream, ain't she?
What did you do, Eddie?
Do? Oh, nothing. I'm a mama pupil.
Well, there must be some reason why she wrote this note.
Oh, I don't believe a word she says, Padre. I just sat there with my hands folded in front of me.
And you didn't create any disturbance?
Not a peep.
Very well, Eddie. Let's hear Sister Claire's version of the story.
Sister Claire's version was a slightly different tale. At great length, she described how Eddie had sat quietly in his seat for almost an hour. And then, at a moment when the class was silently considering a map on the wall, a shrill voice rang out,
I think geography stinks.
Eddie?
Well, I do. Who cares a rap about the South Pole and Africa and a lot of places I ain't never gonna go to? Why don't you show us where Alcatraz is?
Get back in your seat, Eddie.
What for? Why can't I stand up if I feel like it? Why can't I walk up and down the aisle? This is a free country.
Boys, control yourself.
That's right, kiddies. Be good to teacher, and teacher will bring you a nice red apple.
Sit down, Eddie. Go back to your seat and sit down.
Make me. Just try it.
I'll have to make you. Would you give me no other choice?
Stay right where you are, sis, or I'll let you have it.
Put that inkwell down.
Don't make me laugh.
Put it down, I said.
Look out, lady. You're asking for...
Don't you dare throw that ink... Eddie. You've broken our plastic figure of Cicero.
So what? I didn't like his mug anyway.
I couldn't do a thing with him, Father. He kept walking up and down the aisle, throwing things on the floor, using uncouth language. And you see what happened to our figure of Cicero.
Ah, she's exaggerating.
Sit down, Eddie.
Okay, Padre. What are you going to do to me? Kick me out of Boys Town?
I know, certainly not. After all, this was my fault.
Your fault, Father?
Well, in a way it was. You see, I never told Eddie he mustn't throw inkwells.
But, Father...
Of course, the laws of Boys Town have to be enforced. But Eddie must be given a fair chance to learn them first.
You mean you ain't going to send me away from here?
Or whatever gave you that idea, Eddie?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Have you forgotten what I told you?
What?
You're a good boy, Eddie. A very good boy.
Despite everyone's efforts, Eddie made no friends among the boys or his teachers. He refused to exercise in the gymnasium or take part in any of the recreational activities. And when they asked him to play baseball, he sneered,
Who, me? Get a kick out of hitting a baseball after robbing a bank? Baseball is kid stuff.
Did the little fellow learn anything in class, Sister Claire?
Well, he is getting his ABCs, Father. In fact, I think he's learning a great deal more than he lets on.
But?
Well, you know what he's like. He's just eaten up with hatred for everything.
Yes, I know. Still, there must be some way of reaching down into that warped little mind of his and turning it right side up.
Is there anything you haven't tried, Father?
No, not really. I've used up every rule in the book.
And now?
Now I'm going to have to throw the book away. Now I'm going to figure that boy out if I have to work on him like a problem in calculus. I'm going to understand him
And I'm going to make him understand me.
How, Father?
By going fishing with him. By taking him to the movies. By eating hamburgers with him and hot dogs and playing pool with him, if that's what he wants.
Oh, heaven help you, Father.
I'm going to find the goodness in that boy if I have to turn him inside out. I'm going to spoil him, Sister Claire, until he pours out his heart to me. The little devil, I'm going to spoil him with love. How about it, Eddie? Another ride on the roller coaster?
No.
What's the matter? Aren't you having a good time?
No.
Yeah, these hot dogs are delicious, aren't they, Eddie?
They stink.
What?
I thought you were crazy about them.
I am, when I'm alone.
And next Thursday, I'll take you to the movies again.
Don't bother.
What do you mean? Don't you like me to take you to the movies?
Listen, Padre, there's only one place I'd like you to take me. To a railroad station.
Some broth, Father. It's awfully good.
No, thank you. I don't care if anything to eat just now.
You must have spoiled your appetite with too many frankfurters and sodas this afternoon.
Yeah. Eddie and I went fishing for a change.
Oh. Any luck?
With a fish, yes. But not with Eddie. He just sat there like a bump on the log. Didn't say three words all afternoon.
I know. That's his new way of being surly. He doesn't speak when you talk to him.
That's why I took him fishing. I thought he might say something without being prompted. Didn't register at all. He didn't even get excited when we landed the big one.
Well, don't worry about it, Father. You never failed before. And I'm sure you won't this time.
I don't know. This boy is my toughest customer.
Hello, operator. I'm still waiting for that long-distance call to Sheriff Hosey in Springtown. Yes, this is Father Flanagan. All right, operator. I'll hang up and wait for you to call me. Come in. Well, good morning, Eddie.
What's good about it?
Oh, many things. You came to see me. You knocked on the door like a gentleman. I just put in a call to Sheriff Hosey.
What do you want with him?
Well, I thought I might want to send for him, Eddie. After all, things haven't worked out too well for you here. There's some other place where you...
Look, Padre, I want to have it out with you.
By all means, son. What's on your mind?
You're a phony, Father Flanagan.
What's that?
A fake, a bullfrog, a two-timing phony.
Now, look here, Eddie.
Don't give me that innocent look. I'm on to you this time. I'm wise to your racket.
What racket? What are you saying?
You've been trying to get around me, Padre. You've been giving me a song and dance for almost 6 months now. And I pretty near fell for it. I would have fell for it if you was on the level, only you're not.
What makes you think so?
I figured it out last night. You've been doing these things to make me behave myself. You don't really think I'm a good boy.
I know you're a good
boy. And I know you're a phony.
Look here, Eddie, you better prove what you say or shut up.
Okay, I can prove it. I can prove it right now. I just kicked Sister Claire in the shins. What do you think of that?
I still think you're a good boy.
Well, then I tell you, I kick a dame in the shins and you say I'm a good boy. Don't that prove you're a phony?
No, Eddie, it might seem that way according to your logic, but not according to mine. What is a good boy, Eddie?
No,
listen to me. A good boy is an obedient boy, isn't that right?
Yeah.
A boy who always does what his teachers tell him to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's all you've ever done, Eddie. You've always obeyed your teachers. The only trouble is you've had the wrong ones.
Huh?
Fourth rats and bums on the street corner. Those are the teachers you've obeyed. You've done every wrong and rotten thing they've taught you to do. And you're still doing them.
What's that got to do with you?
Get yourself some new teachers, boy. The ones you had before don't care a hang about you. But we do. We can make a man out of you, Eddie. The kind of man you'd like to be.
I don't know what I'd like to be.
Then give us a chance to show you. Give us a chance to prove we're not phonies.
Well.
You're not a bad boy, Eddie. There's no such thing as a bad boy.
There are simple words of unarguable truth, shot like a bolt through the charged atmosphere of the room.
driving the devils away and cleansing the air. For a moment, Eddie stood there dumbfounded. And then a look of pain crept over his face and squeezed a tear from his eyes. Instantly, he ran from the room to conceal it. And Father Flanagan let him go. But that afternoon, on the baseball field, the Boys Town squad had a new recruit.
Well, hello, Eddie.
Hello, Father.
You know I just practiced this afternoon?
Yeah. Might do that. Might even practice with you if there's an extra glove around.
Oh, fine. I'm sure I can save up another glove.
Yeah. I've been thinking it over, Father. And, well, I think I'd like to learn how to play baseball.
Good for you.
I'd like to learn a lot of other things, too, Father.
Really?
Yeah. This time, I think I got the right teacher.
Eddie Bruce, that was a great show and a great piece of acting. The Eddie you portrayed is a grown man now, a United States Marine whose chest is covered with decorations won on the battlefields during the war. Father Flanagan is in Japan now for the Army. But I know he'd be mighty pleased, too, with Sidney Smith's portrayal of him. Thanks to the whole fine cast. And to one more person. Wherever the real Eddie is tonight, I hope he's listening. It was his story, and I think it's going to make a lot of people feel pretty good about kids everywhere.
Hours of vacation fun await the lucky youngsters who collect Hallmark dolls. So start your youngsters on this new adventure. Send them Hallmark dolls. Then see how much fun the children have all summer long. Remember, Hallmark dolls are only 25 cents a piece. See them soon. Send them often to every youngster you know.
This is Tom Shirley inviting you to be with us again next week. At that time, you will hear a remarkable and inspiring story of a little girl who didn't have a penny in her pocket, but carried the riches of the world in her heart. Another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards.
Flanagan's Toughest Customer was dramatized by Robert Sloan from Fulton Hours in his article in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. This is Ron Lawson speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.